of the citizens, whether it be with invitations, phone calls, and of course, you never want to miss an opportunity to thank those individuals as well. So, as is my normal practice, I always ask Shari and Adina what I'm supposed to do, because of course they tell me what I'm supposed to do. So I asked them today, who else do I need to thank? Now, one of the people I actually knew that I had to thank, because she was actually new this year to our call list, which was my wife, Bella, who made a number of phone calls. Not quite sure she wanted to get involved, but I think it had something to do with the fact on last Wednesday Shabbos, after I had a million and one things to do with Little League and a number of other endeavors, and my computer not working, and I was really having a meltdown. I think that was probably the point where she said, if you need somebody to do something, I'll help you. But Bella made a number of phone calls, and she really was you never really want to mess with somebody who's been in sales. You're not going to win that argument. So we really have to thank her as well. By the way, just so that you know, I think what applies to me applies to you're now a member of the committee for life. But I'm told from Adina that this year, for a first, Simcha actually helped. And as most of you know, Simcha was in a recovery process. Simcha actually participated. I'm told his contribution was he escorted her to Staples one night to help her buy products. The individual who the Fishmans have asked to speak on their behalf, I happen to have some personal resentment for. When I was no longer vice president, for those of you who don't know, I was vice president, I served with three other individuals, all of whom were named David. So we had a president, a vice president, a secretary, and a treasurer named David. And when I left, he upset the balance of power because he wasn't a David. He was an Eddie. The bigger problem was that Eddie managed to embarrass me. And I never told the story publicly, but I will now. I happened to do very, very little. In fact, I did almost next to nothing as vice president. Eddie did less. And so Eddie actually made me look bad because he found a way to do less than I did. Nevertheless, Svi and Batya have asked Eddie to come up and say a few words. So Eddie, come on up.
Why is everybody clapping? I didn't say anything. Bashus, the Rav, Rav Welcher, Dinner Chairman, David Kirshner, Honorees, Batya and Tzvi Fishman, Morai Verabosai. If you look at the Congregation of Avos Yisrael blogspot, it reads that our shul is focused on Torah, Tefillah, Gemilus Masadim, and Eretz Yisrael. This year, our shul chose to honor Batya and Tzvi Fishman. I can't think of a more deserving couple, a couple who embody these lofty values in both creed and deed. So it is an honor for me to say a few words about the Fishmans, and that hopefully will be a few words. My wife Sarah and I have known the Fishmans for over 30 years. In fact, they were one of the first couples that we met when we first moved to the neighborhood. In that span of years, we marveled at what they have accomplished. We have seen them grow from humble and modest beginning to a veritable empire. Baruch Hashem, all their children and grandchildren, I will not mention all their names, Ilana and Moshe, Naomi and Baruch Yonasan, Rivka and Sruli, and David and Shoshana. All are oskin, betorah, and mitzvos, something not so simple, fine Talmidei Chachamim, and just a beautiful, beautiful family. And all this was done in a quiet and unassuming manner, no fanfare, no shtick. As my father, Allah Shalom, would observe, Alts Shtilahe, quiet. When it comes to Torah, the fishermen are constantly involved in Torah learning. So he attends many shiurim during the week, including the Ramban Chabura, given by Rav Mark Kuttner. I'm going to plug there. I invite everybody to join us. You will not be disappointed. So he learns with several chavrusas, and as well as on his own. He is a true Yudvakech. Batya frequents many shiurim, and on occasion sponsors or hosts shiurim in the fishermen home. Comes to tefillah, they're very active in our shul, as we all know. Tzvi attends daily minyanim, regularly without fail, and Batya attends shul every Shabbos, which is not such a common thing for many women, I think. Gemilus Hasadim. Tzvi is a secretary of the shul and a membership chairman, and he's also involved in setting up Shalosh Sudos, which is a thankless job that nobody really wants. Their home exemplifies Hachnasas Orchim, and many guests are like Bnei Bayis by them. Batya was a co-president of the shul's Women's League for 3 years, and is always volunteering for the shul and other organizations. The Fishmans are extremely devoted parents, always helping their children and grandchildren. They are literally there for them when they need help, especially in difficult times. The fishermen are both retired special ed teachers, which makes a lot of sense. They're giving people. And now that they're retired, they are busier than ever. Tzvi taught computers at Chofetz Chaim High School and actually survived to tell about it. Regarding Eretz Yisrael, the fishermen have a deep and abiding love for Eretz Yisrael. They visit as often as possible, and when they do, it is usually for an extended period of time so they can help their two children and their families who are living there. And not an easy situation. But aside from their impressive resume, I would like to briefly touch upon the personality of the people themselves. I learned a great deal from Batya and Tzvi regarding Emuna and Chesed. A story is told about the Chofetz Chaim when he was a little boy. He too, like little boys, liked to play games, but not like soccer or flipping cards or whatever the kids did in those days. He sat around with his friends playing their special game called What Would You Do If You Were God? That's the Chofetz Chaim's game. The first boy said, well, Yankel recently lost his father. If I were God, I would bring back his father. I would be Mechaya Mason. A second boy said, well, Yotzele is very poor and goes to bed hungry every night. If I were God, I would give him his father, Parnassa, make him a millionaire. A third boy chimed in, Moshele is a sickly child and can't participate in normal activities. If I were God, I would hire the best doctor and cure him, and so on and so on. Everybody would try to right the evils of the world. And then they asked Yisrael Meir, what would you do if you were God? And Yisrael Meir answered, if I were God, I would do nothing. I would leave everything the way it is, because that's the way it's supposed to be. The Rebbeinu Shalom the fear developed. I know at least one person, I'm sure there are many, who knows and lives this idea, and that's Tzvi Fishman, and I can prove it. Often Tzvi and I would go home from the shul in the morning, just a short period, a short block, and of course I would complain about a lot of things. It's raining, it's cold, it's nasty, the weather's terrible, it's messy, it's inconvenient, the highways are going to be flooded, and so on and so forth. And after my tirade was over, Tzvi would turn to me and say, what are you talking about? It is a beautiful day. Just look around. It's magnificent. So, unfortunately, I have to admit, it took me about 3 of these sessions until I finally got it. It is a beautiful day. Regarding another incident we had, I was trying to complete a minyan for a Beis Avel. I waited in the shul lobby for people to come to the second minyan, and I told them we need 1 or 2 people to come to our minyan, to the Beis Avel minyan. Everybody had an excuse. I was a little bit surprised, maybe naive, to think they would jump at the opportunity. But everybody said something else. Well, it's raining. One said it's too far. My foot hurts. I kind of like it in Avisa, like the davening here. I feel comfortable here. And so on. There is a woman who sits in the shul's lobby in the morning waiting for her daily ride. I was watching this. And as Tzvi was approaching the shul, about to enter, she says to me, "He will go to the minyan. He is a tzaddik." I looked at her and nodded. What I really wanted to say to her was, "Lady, you don't know how right you are." Of course, when I came, told Tzvi, "We need a minyan," without question, without hesitation, he would go. What is the problem? Everything he does is with Sefer Panim Yochos. When he sees a stranger in our shul, he greets them with a warm smile, a vankite, an edelkite, asks them how they are, the way it should be. And it's not because he's a membership chairman trying to drum up business. He does this everywhere, outside in shul and home. And the final story, we were sitting around the Shabbos table at the fisherman home a while back, and a halachic question arose. After some debate back and forth, we realized we couldn't answer the question. We didn't have the expertise. So Batya got up and simply said, "We'll ask the Rav what will be, and that will be the end of it. Whatever he says, we'll do. No debates, no second guessing, end of story, problem solved." So these are some of the lessons that I learned from the Fishmans, and I can go on and on, but I'll probably get killed. It's kind of late, but there are many more, I guarantee you. Everyone is looking for inspiration. We read books about the Gedolei Hador, we attend shiurim, seminars, we go to retreats. All are very admirable activities and should be encouraged. But if you really want inspiration, just look around this room. Everyone here has contributed something to our shul and our community, otherwise they wouldn't be here. We don't have to look any further. And the Fishmans are prime examples of this. So we wish to Batya and Tzvi much bracha and atzlacha, and they should continue to live inspired lives and thereby inspire us. So at this time, it is my pleasure to ask Tzvi and Batya to come forward to the podium to receive their award. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
Read this. I'm not reading the Yerushalayim, that's the only one. Presented to Tzvi and Batya Fishman, guests of honor, with Hakaras HaTov for your commitment and dedication to our Kehila. May you be rewarded with all the blessings promised to Ha'oskim Mitzarchei Tzibur Ve'emuna, Kal Kadosh Avas Yisrael, Congregation Avas Yisrael of Kew Gardens Hills, 28th Annual Dinner, April 28th, 2015, Test ER Tafshin Ayin A.
Can we go?
Are we dismissed?
You get blinded? Where the... Oh, the Nasi.
Okay.
Hey, no amateurs here. What is it? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
No way.
That's more of your picture.
It's enough and vague.
Okay, yeah, enough, enough.
Okay, that's your turn.
Thank you.
I didn't embarrass you. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you. I know it's getting a little late, but have a few words. Okay. For Shus, the Rav, and my Rebbe, everyone here. First, I'd like to say that this speech is going to be in memory of Erwin Nathan Tzal, who exemplified Ahavas Yisrael. Okay, before I start, I'd like to thank the dinner committee, David Kirshner, Dina Shapiro, Gary White, and all those who helped them. Also, I'd like to thank all of you who came this evening and all of those who support the shul. And I'd like to thank my children for being here, my grandchildren, and of course my dear wife. First off, we'd like to tell you how we came about to accept this honor. I was approached by David Kirshner, and he just asked me, would you be willing to be the honorees for the shul dinner? And it just happened that next day, my children who are on this side of the Atlantic were coming over to our house for a meal. So we told them of David's offer, and their response was, Abba, Ima, there are only two reasons why some organization honors an individuals. The first is if that family or the people who the family knows or the people who the family worked with have a lot of money. So right off the bat, yes, forget it. That couldn't possibly be the reason. The second reason is if they truly want to honor those individuals. And I said, if that's the case, you have to accept. It's not right to refuse. So therefore, our decision was made. Now, next problem is, what should I talk about? Well, we do daven at Congregation Ahavas Yisrael. So my idea is speak about having Ahavas Yisrael and improving Ahavas Yisrael. The idea of loving another Jew. These ideas are a combination mostly coming from Rabbi Avigdor Miller and from the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, with a little bit of Mesillas Yesharim, Rabbi Yitzchak Silberstein, and a touch of Rabbi Rieti. It all comes together, and it's a nice recipe. So here it is. To quote the Mesillas Yesharim, starts off in the introduction. This is not to teach you what you do not know, but to remind you of what you already know. So this past Shabbos, we started reading Parshas Achrei Mos, which describes the Yom Kippur service. On Pasuk 16, verse 30, it says, for on this day he shall provide atonement for you to cleanse you. Hashem gives us the ability for atonement, which will cleanse us. Part of the cleansing process makes one a better person. And if you become a better person, you're a happier person. And this type of happiness is very contagious because others are affected as well. Even if they are very different from you. How this is done? Well, there is some sort of plan that's followed. And this plan that's based on Pasuk 16:30 comes from Rabbi Silverstein, who uses Rabbi Miller's 10 steps to greatness as a way of cleansing oneself. So to go over these whole 10 steps is a whole series. Forget it, it's going to take too long. So I'm going to hone in on just a summary of two steps. Step number one, once a day, when looking at another person, think, I am seeing a Tzelem Elohim. Two, just like Hashem's image shines on us, smile. Now, first, why is it important to look at another person and think that I am seeing a Tzelem Elohim? Well, we have to try to see another person as being important. We need to realize that Hashem loves all of us, despite our flaws. And yes, no one is perfect. I have to say that, including myself. Hashem has compassion for us, so we have to have compassion for others. Even though we have compassion for them, even though we don't feel like doing it, even though we don't believe to do it, or we don't feel that the other person deserves it. They do deserve it. Because just like you, they have a Tzelem Elohim. Not everyone is as socially mature as you. Not everyone knows how to interact with others like you do. But if you look at a person's Tzelem Elohim, you can deal with them. If you can make that person feel comfortable in our shul, on the street, in a store, in a base medrash, wherever, you've achieved Ahavas Yisrael, and you have emulated Hashem. This is accomplished because to Hashem, we are all bonim lemakom. We are children of Hashem. And this is our Ahavas Yisrael. An example of this, and this shouldn't happen any place, but it happens. A situation arises that you see a visitor in shul, and he happens to be sitting in your seat. What do you do? Well, you look at the visitor and say to yourself, this is a Tzelem Elohim. You convince yourself of that and feel comfortable with it. At that point, you can't possibly tell that person, get out of my seat. And you can't tell him that because you're telling that to a Tzelem Elohim. It must be, if he has that, it must be that Hashem was the one who placed him there. So since Hashem loves us all unconditionally, we then need to see each other in that way. And this will bring us closer to Hashem, give us greater internal peace. This means that each of us is intrinsically valuable and good. We all have a role to play in improving our Ahavas Yisrael. So start thinking of your positive qualities and then see the positive qualities in others. What others think of you is less important. It's what you think of yourself, because what's important is that Hashem loves you. And this is true Ahavas Yisrael. The second point. Just like Hashem's image shines on us, smile. Another quote from the Mesillas Yesharim. Chachamim have taught that man was created to rejoice in Hashem and derive pleasure from being in His presence. Smile, because we are happy. This is a very positive, happy thought to have in our minds. But what brings about this happiness? And what is happiness? This could be a hard thing to comprehend. What does happiness mean to you? Is it having enough money to pay all the bills? Is it having the greatest satisfaction from your parnosa? Is it eating the tastiest meal, like we did here? Is it rejoicing when the Mets or Yankees win? Or is it wearing a nice outfit? No, it's what the Avos tell. Who is happy? The one who is happy with what he has. If we realize this, then we can smile at people. We can do this L'shem Shemayim, since we are doing what Hashem wants us to do. When we start off in life, it's not so easy to have a meaningful smile. As we get older, it should become more natural and more sincere. On the top of our mind, Hashem is telling us, "You are my servant. You have served me all of your life." How does this translate into a happy life? Well, again, we go to Rabbi Miller. He outlined the plan that's also spoken about in Akev, chapter 10, verses 12 to 15. 5 points. 1, to fear Hashem. 2, to walk in all His ways. 3, to love Hashem. 4, to serve Hashem with all your heart and with all your soul. And 5, to keep Hashem's commandments. Focusing on this makes everything you do in service to Hashem and shows Ahavas Yisrael. Fulfilling these should make a person happy in this world, and in turn makes those who are in contact with you happier. The success in your life then revolves around the Torah. Okay, a first step in this process is to be aware of Hashem at all times. This gets each person responsible for their actions. Now, a very simple action that follows this, that's stressed by Rabbi Miller, and it does a tremendous amount of Ahavas Yisrael, is stated in the Avos, chapter 1, to greet all men with a kindly countenance. If we do this, how much would Ahavas Yisrael increase? According to Rabbi Miller, this means to greet someone, you should face them. Put your face directly to them. Second point is to show interest in what he has to say. And the third is to give an expression that you are concerned about that individual. They must feel that you are in contact with them. Have you ever been talking to someone and then all of a sudden their cell phone rings and they feel, I have to answer this now. Now, what does this say about their relationship with you? This is the first step, and I just want to stop at that point, because this could go on so much more. And for all the other points, it's the fact that that's what you already know. So, in summary, at this time, during when we're saying Sifrit, we need to look into ourselves and to improve our Ahavas Yisrael. We can do this by cleansing ourselves, following the plan of Rabbi Miller that in part says, to look at another person and internalize that I am seeing Tzelem Elokim. And the second point is to realize that Hashem shines on on each of us, and we should smile. Now, let's all work at improving our Ahavas Yisrael, in Ahavas Yisrael, and in our daily lives. And do we see anything like this being done? Well, I feel we have a great example of it in our shul. We are fortunate to have a Rav and his Rebbetzin who emanate Ahavas Yisrael. They are great examples of what we need to strive for. May we continue to be, may they continue to guide us for many years to come, and hopefully all of our efforts will hasten the true Geula, bring Mashiach b'mehirah b'yameinu. Thank you.
Oh, yes. I'm going to make this a bit more. I just give it to you.